Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Hello, Canada. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Rod Peterson Show, episode 182 of Canada's only live morning sports talk show, coming your way out of the bunker here in Western Canada, where we are hitting plus temperatures here into the weekend. So everybody's in a good mood. This is a show that we call Football Friday, and it's been outstanding. Nick Lewis is with me in the bunker, and John Frenzy, couple Hall of Famers in their own right. And we had Mark Cohan in Hour 1, former CFL commissioner. I got to think he's going to the Canadian Football Hall of Fame. I was talking to the boys from the Football Hall last week. I got to find out. Well, I got a sense of who's going in this year, Frenzy. But Cohan's got to be on the ballot. Coming up this hour, Kim Murphy, Canadian football referee who announced his retirement last weekend after 26 seasons. He's going to join us and tell some football stories. And in moments, Keon Raymond. But he's Calgary Stampeders, great, of course, and he's running for the presidency of the CFLPA. There's a lot of things on the table here. We've been having a tremendous discussion right now about the players' plight in the CFL, as well as the XFL, the competition the XFL has posed, and what onus there is on the players to help grow the CFL itself, not just the teams and the marketing staffs. Now, just ahead of Keon, who will have opinions, I know, on all of this. Chad from Yorkton, writing in on the Prairie Mobile text line, and you can write us too, 306-840-8777. That's 840-8777. I stand behind the players, but they need to get out into the community more. We used to have riders in Yorkton all the time, and not just the same ones. Now, if we do get them here, they're always the same. If you get out to your fans and show that you're here for the fans, part of the community, you will have way more support. If the players show they care about the fans and are happy to be part of Rider Nation and not just on Twitter, you'll see more people in the stands. Now, I've been saying that for a long time. That's old school. I was thinking about buying a map and putting a pin in every spot in the province that I've been in just in the last year, because it's all corners. And everywhere I go, the people come up and say, how come the Riders don't come out here anymore? And I often say, well, I don't know, but I'm here. Is that okay? And they're like, oh, no, that's great. But it's changed. It's changed across the league. It's changed here. And I don't think that society's changed. Nick just said it. He'd like to go on a bus across the country with CFL players and press the flesh. And there just wasn't a lot of interest in it from the higher-ups.
I think the executive here don't realize how important it is to have that visit from the Riders in those towns. I've been out there. You have. They're thrilled. They treat you like a king.
That's what made me a Rider
every
fan.
Every team.
Yeah. And they're all smart. They know, well, most not all smart, but a lot of them are really smart. They know what's going on. They ask you real good questions. They're very good people, great, good fans. And, I mean, it would be great for the Riders to take a bus and do that. I don't think they're aware of it, how important it would be.
That's a team issue. It's not a player issue. Yeah. See, he looks at it as a players, but as an American player, I got to Calgary. Do you think I knew on a map where all these towns were or where I should go? That's the teams that take you there and the teams that talk about it and put in an initiative to do those things. So, I mean, if you want American players to just come up here and then drive to random places without anything being set up or try to put something together like that on their own, it'd be very, very difficult.
Why would they?
Yeah.
Right. So let's bring in Keon Raymond. He's got a lot of things to say from Calgary. Look, he's always dressing like a president now.
Yeah.
How you doing? How you doing, Keon?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you guys doing today?
We're doing great, and you're hearing a little bit about the discussion right now. Do you have thoughts on this? I mean, you just go on the competition of the XFL, the plight of the current CFL player, and the economic climate of this league. What are you thinking these days?
You know what? It's such a tough concept, especially when you see so many new leagues coming up. There's one, you know, you had AAF. You have, you know, so many new leagues popping up, especially with this one, the XFL coming up. I think there's always going to be opportunities at new leagues. But I think the CFL needs to understand that, you know, they're always banking on a new league failing. And I'm going to tell you, one day somebody's going to get it right. And, you know, and for this to be one of the longest standing leagues, we can't wait for somebody to get it right, to take talent away from the CFL and for players to go down and play in these different leagues.
Well, you announced your candidacy for the presidency of the Players Association at Grey Cup. So that was 2 months ago, December, January, for 3 months ago. What's your life been like since? What's the update on that?
You know what, man, to be honest, like the amount of love that I've received from so many Canadians from across the country, fans, just, you know, behind me and backing and understanding how important, you know, this is. I thought about running, but I wasn't real sure about it just because it's a tough job. And I won't BS, it's a tough job. But I think, you know, for me and how I've ingratiated myself in the community of Calgary, in the community of football in Canada, and wanting to see and be an active participant in the growth of the game of football. And I think, you know, from the position at the presidency of our Players Association is a really good starting point to help them grow the game and put more footballs in the youth of kids in Canada.
Did you have a question for him, John?
Yeah. How do you see the XFL right now? Is it a real threat? I just said to the fellas before you came in the air that I think the next 2 years are really critical for the CFL in surviving against the XFL. Would you agree with that?
You know what I do? Hey, what's going on, John? I'm a big fan, buddy. I do. I think, you know, if we're trying to sit up and play the exact same game that we've always played, you know, I think we're going to lose in it. I think if we're always banking on another league failing just because other leagues have over the course of years, I think that's the wrong mantra to take. I think the XFL, you got, like I posted on the tweet last week, you got a Hall of Famer. See, there's no way S.J. Green should ever have left the CFL ranks. That's like Randy Moss going down and leaving the NFL. You know, you don't allow guys of that caliber who've done so much for this league. I think he has probably one of the top CFL plays of all time in Regina, you know, catching that ball from Anthony Calvillo, where he's extended out to the back of the end zone. And when you allow guys like that, superstars in our league, to leave, I think that's a big problem. I think the fans, the communities, they all ingratiate themselves and connected to these players. And I think we need to find a way to continue to keep our players here and to continue to grow the league in that aspect.
You know, just to interject, Scott Nichols is watching in Saskatoon and says, that is the sickest backdrop we've ever had on the Rod Peterson Show. Can you talk about big time players and key K-25?
Yeah. So you know what, K-25 is a sports company that we started when I was playing in my playing career football. I'm just trying to know that, you know, football wouldn't be it's a deadline to playing football. And I wanted to make sure I tried to get something established. And the big time player brand, that is it's a 7-on-7 league. It's a program that I promote health and safety within the football of young kids. So our first group, I got two teams, the 7th and 8th grade team and a high school team for 9th to 12th. And I'm taking them to Los Angeles this year. It's a touch football tournament, one of the big ones in the U.S. And these young Canadian kids have an opportunity to play against, kids from America, but in a safe contact manner. They get an opportunity to work on their skill development, and they enjoy playing and growing the game of football. Like the kids and my parents in my program, they say, man, I cannot wait to go to practice, you know. But it's growing the game of football. It's getting kids to love it. Again, just picking up that football and throwing it, and I want to make sure I'm an active part in that. And so, you know, we also got an educational piece to it. We're visiting USC when we go down. I know the kids are going to be excited about that. I haven't told them about it, but if they're watching the Rod Peterson Show, they know now.
Hey, Key, I got a question for you, man.
Yes, sir.
You know, they talked about Americans coming up here and being in the communities and things, right? Players. Can you just talk a little bit about how hard it is for an American to transition out of football while staying in Canada? Because I know you're still heavily in the community. I've been in the community. Can you talk about the difficulties that you faced, you know, from getting your, permanent residency or getting another work visa to stay here? Can you just talk about that?
Yeah, you know, it is tough, you know. just the challenges that a guy has to go through coming from the South. A lot of guys want to stay up here. Knowing me, being from St. Louis, Missouri, you come up here, you create a life. You know, like I said a couple days ago, like I was supposed to leave in 2010 and go back home and be one of those guys that commute back and forth throughout the season. And my wife, Bianca, and I decided to, you know what, let's stay here and make a family. But then there's challenges in regards to that. And, you know, it's so many things in regards of immigration. And it's like, you know, as an American player, how do you stay up here? How do you work? You know, how do you find a job? You know, how do you establish yourself? Like you said earlier, you know, about credit and things like that. And if you're not a big name guy or a guy who's, you know, getting, you know, 150,000, 100, you know, 20,000, you know, knowing that you're going to be here for a while, a $55,000 guy coming from America and probably taking, you know, maybe 35 to 40,000 home if he's super cheap like I was, and only spending $20 of his per diem, you know, just to make sure, you know, you make ends meet. And I think, you know, that's a bit of a challenge. And so what I've tried to do is try to be an example of me coming up here, starting a business, establishing myself in the community, always being focused on our key values and goals. Is number one is character and leadership, you know, and that's what I try to do within regards. And I think honestly, that's what I want to bring to the Players Association. Me personally, I feel that, you know, the association needs, you know, I don't want to say it or talk bad about the guys that are on the board, but there needs to be a little bit more grit in there. And I think, you know, me playing, and I think I'll bring a bit of that grit to the table when it's time to negotiate.
Lastly, Keon, just, you know, we've all been somewhat harsh in our analysis of the CFL here right now, and for good reason. But on the flip side, they did allow SJ Green out of his contract. They allowed James Wilder out of his contract, consequently went into Montreal. I don't think they figured that was going to happen. Calgary let Trey Robeson out of his deal to sign in Chicago. So from that side of things, that's a positive, I would say, from the team perspective, no?
Yeah, it is. You know, I think especially I hear that there's a grievance going on with Nate Holly right now. He's a young star in the CFL right now. And I think he's had some NFL looks and wants to go down. And me, like it's such a tight, fickle position to be in, because you want guys to have an opportunity, especially, you know, somebody's going to give you $400,000. Which is life-changing for a young 22-year-old. I know when I was in the NFL, I signed a $285,000 contract, and it's like, man, you know, I'm rich, you know, and, you know, and you see that things don't happen the way that it does, but, you know, just to see the difference in, you know, the ability to financially put yourself up in different situations, it's always tough. But I feel, you know, like I give, you know, Calgary and Coach Huffnagel, the GM, props on allowing Trey to get out, you know, and do that. But it helps the league, but it hurts some of the big names that you do have. But you open a floor and a door for guys who want to come up and play in the CFL, knowing that they can get an opportunity to go in the NFL. And I hate to see it as a league that is a stepping stone to get to where you want to be. But until the CFL can get to a point where you can pay guys, you know, $1.2 or $3 million in a contract, I think we'll continue to see that.
Keon, appreciate the time. Good luck as always on this venture, and keep us abreast of how it's going. We'll do it again soon.
I appreciate it, man. I want to thank you guys for giving me a platform to being able to go out and do this. So I'm excited about it and just the new opportunity that's awaiting. So hopefully, you know what I mean? You know, I feel the love of Canada behind me in regards to this. You know, if I'm the president or not, I always wish the guys and the players the best. I'm always root for them.
All right. Good stuff, Keon. Have a great weekend.
Great seeing you, Keon.
All right. Thanks, fellas. You guys have a good one.
Stampeders great Keon Raymond joining us from Calgary today. Hey, checking the poll question, because I'm not sure I brought it up here an hour or two for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. How have the Rough Riders done in free agency? Just to take this in a completely different direction. Lynch, you said you'd give the options are thumbs up, thumbs down, or too soon to tell. Lynch, well, you said thumbs up.
They signed all the free agents they had a chance to.
That they wanted to.
Michael Johnson, I think he's a great defensive tackle. I hope they got a replacement for him. They say sometimes he didn't do as well as he did in Calgary. 14 sacks in Calgary 2 years ago, 4 here last year, but he had 4 hands on him a lot of time, Nick. He was double-teamed
double
a lot.
Double and triple-teamed
So I hope they're realistic about it. They got to get somebody there that's good to replace him, because you got to have that big front four, a good front four, and I don't think it's strong enough right now with what they got. So I like what they've done. They signed the key guys, Zelmanian. And the linebacker.
Yeah, I think they did great.
Cam Judge. And, of course, the guy I've screamed about you, the receiver, our number one receiver in the league.
Shaq Evans.
I mean, he's sensational.
What about James Franklin? Have we had you on talking about James Franklin?
No, and I don't. Well, we got James Franklin here.
Yeah. That's great. At a 50% off bargain, the blue light special.
I get
that's a win right there.
Can it work with him and
Fajardo?
Yeah.
They're the same. They're very spiritual guys, right? So they're going to get along great because...
Chapel's going to be full.
Yeah. You know, two of the most spiritual guys are them two guys, and, you know, I commend them on it, and they stick by what they believe in, and...
They live it.
Yeah. Well, we wanted this guy 3 years ago. All we did was talk about James Franklin, he and I. We're going to get him from Edmonton, and we talked about how great he was at Missouri, and he was, and rated very highly in American college football, as you know.
Yes.
He went to the Argos. It didn't go all that well. But I think he's got a lot of talent there and could really help this team.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely going to help. He'll be a good guy to be around, and he'll be able to step in and make some plays. And he's, he's been with Moss before, so he'll be comfortable.
So the vote, and you got about 23 more hours to vote on this, is at our Twitter feed, at Rod Peterson Show, or on Facebook as well. You can vote, but 42%. Leading, they say it's too soon to tell how the Riders have done in free agency. 40% say thumbs up, and 18% say thumbs down.
Well, it's
and before we break, I want to say, Nick, I don't know if it was you. I want to say a football person in the last week to 10 days. It might not have been you. It might have been somebody I was with in Vegas, but we were talking about James Franklin, and he didn't get along with Mark Trestman, and I said, no, it wasn't you. But I said, well, if you don't get along with Mark Trestman, he's the quarterback whisperer. And the guy turned to me and said, is he?
That was me.
Was that you?
Yeah.
It was you.
I like Mark, but, you know.
Do you think that's overblown?
I think it can be to a degree. But, you know, he's won with 2 Hall of Famers.
Right.
Right. He hasn't won without a Hall of Famer.
And he's struggling now.
As a head coach.
Won the last 3 times around, buddy.
Yeah.
So there's big pressure on him now in Seattle, eh?
Yeah. Tampa Bay. He's the head coach in Tampa Bay.
Yeah. He got SJ.
We'll talk about this and more. That'll help.
That'll help.
We'll talk about this and more when we come back. And also, Kim Murphy coming up. Listen, I want you guys to think of some of your best referee stories, because I got a bunch.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, you think about it in the break. And Kim Murphy will be with us coming up from Southern Ontario, too. It's a Football Friday on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Our new inventory has just arrived, and we already want it gone. Costco special member pricing is back. That means massive discounts for Costco members, plus members get a $500 Costco cash card with purchase of select new vehicles. Happening for a limited time at Saskatchewan's largest GM dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of The Rod Peterson Show.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs. Since 1989.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Thanks for joining us for coffee, everybody, on this Friday morning, Caliber Coffee. It is the Football Friday that we like to call it on episode 182 of Canada's only live morning sports talk show. Kim Murphy coming up, recently retired CFL referee. You all know him.
Yeah.
Sports update. The Jennifer Jones wildcard team meets Kerry Einerson in an all-Manitoba matchup this afternoon at the Scotties Tournament of Hearts in Moose Jaw. Jones, Einerson, and Ontario's Rachel Holman all secured playoff berths yesterday and will jockey for seeding for tomorrow's Page Playoff. The winner of the Page Playoff advances directly to Sunday's final, while the loser drops to the semi. The Pittsburgh Penguins couldn't get anything past Frederick Anderson last night. The Maple Leafs goalie stopped all 24 shots he faced to help Toronto beat the visiting Penguins 4-0. Around the ice, Ben Sherratt had the OT winner as Montreal beat the Capitals 4-3 in Washington. Winnipeg down the Senators 5-1 in Ottawa. Really big win for the Vegas Golden Knights last night. They beat Tampa Bay in Vegas 5-3. I believe that was the final. Wasn't it, Frenzy?
Yep.
It snapped the Lightning's 11-game win streak.
Great
and I
game.
Think you could realistically say the Vegas Golden Knights are the number one team in the NHL.
Great game. Just a great game.
Calgary Flames can gain some ground in the crowded Pacific Division with a home win against the Bruins tonight. Calgary has 68 points, three back of first place Edmonton. Did you hear that, Lynch?
Yep.
First place Edmonton.
I know. It sounds great, boy. We haven't said that for 20 years, 30 years. How about 40?
The Oilers are also in action tonight. They host the Minnesota Wild. Oil coming off a 2-1 home loss to Boston in overtime on Wednesday. The Toronto Raptors are back in action, hosting the Phoenix Suns tonight in their first game in over a week. Toronto had its franchise record 15-game win streak snapped in its last game before the NBA All-Star break. And here it is. Canada's Corey Connors is tied for fourth place heading into the second round of the PGA's Mexico Championship. The Listowel, Ontario product opened with a 3-under-68 yesterday and is three shots back of leader Rory McIlroy. Americans Bubba Watson and Justin Thomas are in second place, two shots behind McIlroy. The sports update for SeatGiant.ca. Stop paying U.S. dollars for sporting events and concerts. We have all major sporting events and concerts in Canadian dollars. Enter promo code RPShow and get discounts for RPShow fans. Visit SeatGiant.ca. Just yesterday, I had messages from Sarasota, Florida, and Phoenix, Arizona, people asking for that promo code. So it's getting out there. RP show at seatgiant.ca. Also for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill, it is Fish Fridays up there. The fish and chips, the best you will ever have. And I'm still waiting for Nick to take us up on it. You got the gift cards from Wendell's.
Yeah, I'll go.
It's Fish Fridays, $13.99 for the best fish and chips you will ever have. And I'm talking about on the ocean, middle of the prairies. I don't care. This is the best you're going to have. Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill. In Saskatoon, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive. And also for G2G Protein Bars. This is Ben Cahoon's company. G2G Protein Bars. Fresh, all natural, healthy, delicious. We have them in the fridge here. We have them every day. This staff is fueled by G2G Protein Bars. Did you know that? You can order yours, g2gbar.com. Order yours by the box. And we got to get a promo code for that. I think we are. We have one. Thanks. They yell out of the back room, RP show. So thank you for that, Totter. Order them up. So as we wait for Kim Murphy to join us, I said referee stories, and I'm sure people probably wondering, oh, you're a radio guy. What would you have a referee story for? Well, I have many, and you're not going to believe this, Nick. 3-4 years ago, maybe five, I got invited to come up and speak at the Canadian Football Officials Association, and I thought, what are they having, a pin the tail on the broadcaster contest or something? You know what I mean? Are they going to use me as a pinata? Because referees for years didn't really like me. More hockey refs than football refs. But anyways, I went up there. The Canadian Football Officials Association. So just imagine dozens, if not hundreds, of referees in a ballroom at the Radisson in Saskatoon. What do you think that's like? It's like walking into a room full of cops or accountants.
Well, you know what I mean? Accountants are worse.
Well, a cross between the stern.
Like Quan Bray walking to a room?
No, different. Oh. Quan Bray's not walking into any rooms. But anyways, refs are refs, and they remind me of cops, right? You crack a joke, and they don't laugh.
Right. They wouldn't like my jokes, would they?
Stern.
I used to get them to laugh.
I'm not saying they're all like that.
Would they like my jokes?
Your jokes are awful, Lynch. But I just want to say this. So I do my presentation, which is like I do everywhere I go, 45 minutes on my 20 years with the Riders, stories about Cal Murphy and Al Ford and Roy Shivers and Danny Barrett and Henry Burris and Darian Durant and Ken Austin and Eric Tillman. People love it. But at the end, I open it up for questions. And one of the refs said, oh, thank you, Alan. Our intern writes in. He says, those G2G bars are intern approved. Thank you, Alan. I just see it come up on the screen here. We're paying him in protein bars. Anyways, one of the questions from the refs was, did anything ever happen in a game that you'd never seen before? And I said, yeah, about once a season. But I said, I got to think about it. I got to think about it because I can't really remember. Now, so I took a couple more questions, but I wasn't going to pass on the question. I just was thinking in my mind what it was. Now, Nick, you must have, as an American, had things happen all the time that just knocked you on your ass.
Yeah, there's a couple things you'd see. I mean, I remember my rookie year, we beat BC, and they didn't count the touchdown. The last play of the game, we threw the ball to Mike Juhas, and he punted it from the 35, and Salacio ran down, caught it off one bounce for a touchdown. And the ref said he wasn't behind the punt, but then he was clearly 2 yards behind the punt. And, yeah, that was probably the beginning of it. I never understood why people don't punt it like that on kickoff return.
Well, my story was simply this. It was Hamilton 2008, and it was Darian Durant's first start, Weston Dressler's rookie year. Weston catches a hitch pass, and he's gone. Remember how fast he was? Well, the Hamilton DB catches up to him. North end zone to my left from behind and punches it out at the one, and the ball goes through the back of the end zone. And I'm like, what the hell? Where are they going to put the ball?
So they had a conference
and they put it on the one. They put it on the Hamilton one. Charlie Taff is blowing a gasket because in America, it's what?
Touchback.
At the 20. Yeah. It'd be Hamilton ball. Yeah. And the Riders had it on the Hamilton 1 yard. My God, the game, they slowed it down for 10 minutes. Just trying to set Charlie down. But the one thing I realized listening to these referees was they all know the rules. You may not like their interpretation of the rules, but they know the rules.
Yeah.
Better in any case than the coaches. Because I had some of those refs that night. And by the way, I stayed. I didn't just scoot out after. I visited with all these guys. Some of the refs said, you know, we're making a call or we're standing there on the sidelines going, coach, in their mind, they're like, you can challenge this. But they don't because they don't know.
Yeah.
And they can't tell the coach, right?
There's a lot of coaches like that, though. But, I mean, Craig Dickinson was in charge of their challenges with Jones, right? So Jones would always ask him, and because Craig knows every
rule. And he always had it.
Yeah, right. Craig knows every rule.
Like, you're not going to fool him.
So, yeah. I mean, I don't think it's ever a hard thing for a head coach to get advice from a couple coaches or – you know.
Well, I would just laugh because the listeners and the fans always expected that we would know the rules. I'm like, if the coaches don't know all the rules, how are we going to know the rules? But I know the referees know the rules. And let's go out on video chat right now. Kim Murphy joins us from Winnipeg. They tell us he's sitting here probably just enjoying the stories. Good morning, Kim. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Rod. Great to be with you. Thank you for having me on this morning.
Does this all sound
and
somewhat...
I was listening very closely to that story that you just told because I was actively involved in that game.
Ah, so, okay. Of course. So I knew I couldn't BS.
I don't think that was done by coincidence either.
So tell me your recollection of that and how upset Charlie Taff was in that game.
Yeah, he was not happy at all. And we understand the American rules a bit as well as the Canadian rules. But, yeah, they wanted a touchback on that, and we weren't giving it to them. We were going with our CFL rules, and it goes back to the person last in possession on the field of play. And that put us back on the one-yard line. It wasn't a popular decision, but, yeah, he wasn't happy with that one.
So did you ever have to pull out the rule book and literally show the coaches here it is, or did he just have to trust you that day?
No, we never have to do that. That wouldn't look very good.
Well, sometimes you might have had to, but you know, Kenny Pickett, God bless his soul, he'd be a very good friend of yours. Great guy.
Yes,
I would ask him American football rules questions, and Kenny would go, I don't know. Not my deal. I mean, do you even dabble in American football rules, or you just stay in Canadian because that's your thing?
No, I'm a fan of the NFL as well, but I'm a bigger fan of our game, of course. But yeah, there's a number of rules that I understand from the NFL's perspective as well. They have some very different ones. Like if they have multiple penalties, it seems like if they have four over here and five over here, everything's just a saw-off, you know? So it's a bit unusual. Us, we have to be smarter than that. We have to do the math, and we got to start doing the gazindas and subtracting and adding and find out where we're going from. And our game is a little more complicated than theirs when we're applying multiple penalties.
Kim, John Lynch here. Well, the Bombers won the Grey Cup this year. You're living in Winnipeg. What's it like being a referee in the CFL and involved in so many games and living in a city like Winnipeg, which has got some passionate fans?
Well, I actually live in Southern Ontario, John. I'm in just outside Hamilton. And I'm just happen to be in Winnipeg right now visiting a friend. So that's what takes me to Winnipeg. It was exciting for the people of Winnipeg to have their team win one, and I was quite happy for Coach Mike O'Shea.
Well, you know what? Flip that. Living just outside Hamilton, what's that like? Given a 15-3 season and not bringing home the championship?
Yeah, they had an outstanding season, and they went undefeated at home. And again, talking about coaches. Coach Steinauer is an amazing person. He was an amazing player and a respectful player, and he's just as a respectful coach as he was on the field. And I felt bad for them as well. It wasn't exactly the way they wanted to turn out. I wasn't cheering for either team, as I never do. I just watched the game as a neutral spectator. And just hope for a well-played game, and everyone gets out of it safe and uninjured.
Well, like offensive linemen, referees don't have a lot of stats, but you have some. And for the viewers that don't know, if you wouldn't mind, with your tweet, tally up your numbers in the CFL, if you don't mind, Kim, and what went behind your decision to call it a career and hang up the whistle.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely right. I have 486 games. 26 seasons, full seasons in the CFL. I've been a head referee since with my own crew since 2009. I had refereed my first game in 2005 in Ottawa. Nine Grey Cups, two were standbys. My very first in 1997 in Edmonton, and then 2014 in Vancouver, which Nick remembers quite well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And it's been a great ride. I've wore three different logos on my chest. I guess you've been around a long time when, you know, the league changed its logo and you've wore three different logos. The helmet logo, the one with kind of the maple leaf coming out of it, and our most recent logo. I also experienced three different Ottawa franchises and officiated all three of them, Rough Riders, Renegades, and now the Red Blacks. I've watched the transformation of the league change over the years too. Our stadiums, you know, obviously right there in Regina, a Mosaic Stadium, the old Taylor Field one, had some amazing games there. Probably some of the most exciting games I've ever officiated were in that park. Quite a few stories and memories from there. In Toronto, my very first game in the CFL back in 1994 was at Sky Dome, and that was between the Shreveport Pirates and the Toronto Argonauts. You see, I broke in during the American expansion, and we had teams throughout the U.S. over a period of 3 years, and Sacramento, California, San Antonio, Shreveport, Louisiana, Birmingham, Memphis, Baltimore. It was amazing. And just a little point of information, I officiated the very first All-American CFL football game in Sacramento, California. It was between the Sacramento Gold Miners and Las Vegas Posse. And the quarterback for the Posse was Anthony Calvillo. We both broke into the league the same year. And I outlasted Anthony.
You know what?
I often remind. Go ahead.
No,
sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead, man. Go ahead. Well, our jaws are just on the floor listening to this. Continue. Go.
Yeah,
go.
Yeah. So that was a very interesting game too. I might want to expand on. We used to get changed in a field house and get trucked over literally to a tent set up outside the stadium. And we would set up inside there and then walk over into the stadium before the start of the game. Well, it was a bit of a controversial finish. There was a pass interference call, which I can say I wasn't part of. It was a bit of a controversial call that decided the outcome of the game. And Anthony Calvillo's team, the Posse, won the game. And as we were leaving the park, naturally, we have to get back to our change facility. We load on to the back of these pickup trucks, and they're open pickup trucks. Literally, we come dressed. So as you can imagine, the fans are leaving the stadium, and they used to draw very good crowds there. And as we're leaving the stadium, we're driving through the mobs of people, and they're yelling at, "There's the refs! There's the refs!" And they're all running after us. And I'm thinking, what in the world is going on here? They're going to tear us apart by limb. I thought, don't fail me now, truck. Just keep your foot on the gas and let's get back to the safe field house and we get back to a safe area. So it was a great game. It was one for the ages for sure. And well, to add to that story, one day I was in the league office and Kevin McDonald from the league office was walking down the hallway and I was coming in for a meeting as I was the president of our referees association at the time. And Kevin's walking with a helmet in each hand. And I'm going, Kevin, what are you doing with those helmets? He goes, oh, I'm just throwing them away. I'm cleaning out my office. And I'm thinking, did you lose your job? But no, he didn't lose his job. He's just clearing out some clutter. And coincidentally, the two helmets he was carrying was the Sacramento Gold Miners helmet and the Las Vegas Posse helmet. I says, may I have those helmets? And he gave them to me. So it was pretty special.
Wow. I told you guys the refs have the best stories. But, you know, going way back to that 2014 Grey Cup, I think this is the quintessential ref story as far as I'm concerned. We all know how the game ended, the block to the back on Larry. Who was the kid? Was it Taylor?
Taylor Reed.
On the return for Brandon Banks. So the Ticats were wild. And I don't need to tell you who with the Ticats said to me, the referees, we got high school reffing in this CFL. That cost Ken Austin a $100,000 bonus. And I said, was it a block to the back? Well, yes, but they've been letting it go all game long. Blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? And that's, you called it by the rules. You know what I mean, Kim? Like that it was probably the most controversial ending, save for 09, which I might remember, of a Grey Cup ever. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you wouldn't change anything.
We, as an official, we hate to see a game end and impacted by a call we make. But Rod and everybody else there and everybody listening needs to know, and you know this, we still have to officiate the game within the rules. And if a player takes advantage or is gaining advantage or does something illegal that meets the billing of a standard call, then we have to make that call. We're put into that position. And the people that make the call in those circumstances, under those pressures, those are good officials. And you know what? Coach Austin, he needs to look at the play and judge it accordingly, right? So we can't say, yeah, we let it go. We didn't call it here. We called it here. But if it's a call, it's made. We have to make split-second decisions. We can't think about it. You know, we don't have the advantage of replay on the spot. We have to make a decision and make a call one way or the other. And I've accepted in my career, I'm going to be 50% right and 50% wrong. And unfortunately, that's the way it goes. Yeah, it was a sad one. I was the backup referee standing on the sideline. And I coincidentally was just on the sideline off the end of the Hamilton bench when Banks went running down the sideline. And then I looked back and I saw the flag on the field. And all I'm hoping and praying for is that we've got a good call.
And it was.
It was a good call. It was right at the point of attack, too. Like that guy makes that tackle right there. If he doesn't make the tackle, Banks has to really bubble But to give him just a free run, he's going to outrun everybody.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Are you? What are the questions you're getting since you're retiring, Cam? I assume one is, are you going to miss it? What's the reaction been since you announced your retirement?
Yeah, let me first tell you that the reason I'm retiring. I didn't answer your question, Rod, earlier with the long drawn out stories that I threw out there at you. the league's going in a bit of a different direction with the officiating staff. I have been around a long time. I felt I still have a little bit of time left, and I would like to kind of decide my own exit strategy a little bit. But they made my decision a little bit easier, knowing that they are going in a bit of a different direction with some newer blood at the head referee position. And they've got some younger guys ready to go. And I can understand that, too. So they're moving forward with that plan, and I wish them well. And we've got some great officials that do just a marvelous job. So that's kind of the reason why I was stepping away from the game.
Well, I'll tell you what. Our viewers are writing in like crazy. And if you go back and watch this replay, you'll see the comments. I don't know what your future plans are in terms of staying in the game, but would you consider coming on here a somewhat regular spot, sort of like Kerry Fraser did on TSN, to be our referee rules guy, our Mike Pereira, if you will? Would you consider that, Kim? You don't have to give me an answer now.
That's always an option. I have a 4 year off to just get physically healthy and mentally healthy. In my real profession, I'm a fire captain in Hamilton, and I experienced a kind of a bad situation earlier this year. I almost lost my life, but I just need some time to recoup and get well. That's all. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you what.
But that's always a possibility. You never know.
It's a standing offer from us. Standing offer, Kim. You know where to find us. It's not that hard. So I appreciate the time, and I feel like we just kind of cracked the lid on those stories. There's a few more to come.
Oh, there's lots. Yeah, I've crossed some great players, experienced so many firsts. Like Louis Pasaglia, I signaled his last 3 points. He's the all-time leading scorer in the CFL history. I signaled his last 3 points in the 2000 Grey Cup game. I met Johnny Unitas in Baltimore, got his autograph, shook hands with him. Maybe one of the all-time greatest quarterbacks in NFL history. I was on the field with Anthony Calvillo, broke his passing record of almost 80,000 yards professionally. Like, that's amazing. I was the very first referee to connect with Jake Ireland in the command center from Ivor Wynne Stadium when we did the inaugural replay in the command center back in 2009. In 2008, and I know Nick remembers that game very well, the Grey Cup game. That was Jake Ireland's last game. I grew up admiring Jake Ireland. I broke into the league in 1994, but I started refereeing amateur football in 1979. And that was Jake Ireland's very first year in the Canadian Football League. And I always admired him. We were from the same association. And to work his last game in a Grey Cup, and then I adopted his crew the following year in 09, and then, you know, connect with him in the command center on replay so he could carry on his career. You know, he had, I believe, almost 600 games as an on-field official. Well, he's got over 600 games in the command center. That's a pretty amazing career.
No kidding, and lucky for him that he can continue it. Maybe that's in your future, too. We should run, Kim. This has been awesome.
I'm sorry, Rod. Yes, go ahead.
No, it's fine. You got a lot to say, so let's do it again soon, man. So happy retirement. Get everything set, and we'll be in touch here in the spring. How's that?
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And have a great day, and I enjoyed that very much.
Awesome. Thank you, Kim. Us too, for sure. There you go, guys. That's just scratch on the surface.
Yeah,
that's
it's
a small sniff of what Kim Murphy's going to bring. So you're doing it, Kim.
Oh, yeah.
Surprisingly, he said 50-50.
I would have thought way higher than
way
that.
Way higher.
75% minimum.
He could write
a
book.
They want 97%.
He could write a book.
Yeah. You should write a book, Kim.
Yeah.
He's probably still watching from Winnipeg right now. Listen, we're gonna break, come back, put a bow on it with these guys, and then we're bringing DuPont back for overtime because we got some things we want to talk about there. It's a Football Friday on Facebook Live, Rod Peterson Show, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%? That's people.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. I feel like somebody's getting fired. Everybody's here.
That's scary. That's right.
That's right. So, I'll say something about Kim Murphy. When we did that speech at the Canadian Football Officials Association, Mike Pereira was supposed to be the headliner, and I was going to be the warm-up act. I was so excited to meet Mike Pereira. And then he bailed.
Oh, yeah, you told me that. Yeah.
You don't bail.
No.
Well, there's one thing my dad taught me. Death in the family, he said, had a reason. I don't know how closely related that death was, but I became the headliner, and they brought in a comedian, Kelly Taylor. It was a lot of pressure. But don't bail. I think Kim Murphy could come out here and do the rubber chicken circuit all over Saskatchewan and tell CFL stories. That'd be his retirement job.
It would be. And he'd be great.
Producer Clark wants to know, does Nick Lewis have any Kim Murphy stories?
Not any particular, no. But I mean, he's always laughed. Like you would say something to him, and he would just smile at you. And I think sometimes, like you said, he knows he was wrong, and he just smiles at you. But he wasn't going to get in confrontation with you. And I had a great time with all the refs. It was one of those things we could joke. I see him in the street and stuff, and before games, after games, and I thought it was. You know, there's always going to be human error in it. And they were just, I knew they were just wanting to do their job, and they were fans of the game just like everyone else. And their job is to be a part of the game and make it flow, because essentially they can throw as many flags they want or as little as they want. You just want it to be consistent.
Well, what precipitated that interview was I saw Kim's tweet. I put in my Monday morning goalie column like a farewell, Kim. And by the way, I don't remember any coaches getting in huge fights with Kim Murphy in his career. I can name them, frankly, with Glenn Johnson, with Andre Proulx, with a lot of other guys. Nobody ever fought with Kim Murphy.
Nope. Nice.
What does that tell you?
Good guy.
He was. Well, he's a good guy. And he's doing a great
respected.
Job. I'm sure those other guys are great guys, too. But Lynch, what did nice guys do?
What, run the Kinsman Club, right?
Right! They run the Kinsman Club.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks, Michael.
Listen, before Lynch adjourns, where are you going for lunch, Frenzy?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I got
where are you guys going, Dell?
Where should we go?
Popeye's Louisiana Chicken.
No, we're not.
No?
You know, how I, like,
chicken
you know
here.
How I like chicken.
Lynch doesn't like chicken. Okay. Dell was there yesterday. He doesn't want to go back. All right. Well, we'll let you go. Frenzy, the whole world's waiting for the Lynch walk-off. Are you ready?
Great, Nick.
All right. Here we go. The Lynch walk-off.
Bye-bye.
Whoop! There you go. Brought to you by Rockstar Supply Chains, the Lynch walk-off. And Nick, before we let you go, speaking of Rockstar Supply Chains, they've just supplied tickets for your family to go to the Saskatchewan Rush game next weekend, which unfortunately I won't be able to be at. Bobby and Cabo San Lucas, I'll be okay. Don't cry for me. But are you excited to get up there?
No, of course. You know, I always enjoy going to Saskatoon and seeing the game, so family loves it. So it'll be fun.
What's your last word of everything we've talked about today? Anything?
I think it's just a little bit about Keon, man. There hasn't been a lot of American representation on the PA. I don't think Canadians should fear having an American running the presidency, because ultimately us Americans love Canada. Right?
That's why you're here.
That's why we're still here. We love Canada. We love the people. We love the CFL game. And when we make and we bring things up, it's not that we're saying one league's better than the other or this is a – it's all to grow the league, and it's all to be a part of what we believe is the best league in the world. And I think that fans should really embrace having an American lead it, because for so long it's only been about the Canadians and the O-linemen, and it hasn't been about everyone. And I know for a long time fans were like, well, you're American. It's a part of it. This is Canada's game. Well, if America picks up the ball and goes back to the U.S. and starts playing the XFL, then you will lose a lot of great talent, and it will hurt the CFL so much. And we don't want to see that happen, right? So I think that's just the last take, is being able to embrace the Americans and being able to say, yeah, we want it to be an equal playing field. We want everybody to be supported, and then – grow this game to be the game that we want to share it with the world.
Yes, right? And interesting, with the global players coming in more this year than last, where does that all fit in? Been very fascinating to watch. Nick, thanks. Appreciate you all you do. Have a good weekend.
Appreciate you as well.
And we'll see you Monday right here at 10 a.m. Central on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.